Hello and welcome to the commentary for Lesson 314, Ecclesiastes 11 and 12. This does complete the book of Ecclesiastes, so that's exciting. We're making good progress. This was a really good reading. I mean, nothing really, it was all pretty straightforward, but this is he's an old man, Solomon is, and this is his end of life advice. And remember, he has experienced so much in his life, and he was wise for many years. God granted him extreme wisdom. And so these are words that we would do well to live by. There was a lot in here, and I'm going to read a lot of it. The reading was kind of short today, so we have a little time to do that. But it was interesting, verses 1 and 2, it just seemed kind of out of the blue that he talks about, send your grain across the seas, and in time profits will flow back to you. That makes me think of international trade. Verse 2, but divide your investments among many places, for you do not know what risks might lie ahead. That reminds me of diversifying your portfolio, investing in mutual funds, things like that. And Dave Ramsey, of course, advises the same thing, but this probably does have double meaning, as scripture often does. I'm not sure. But he has had a lot of power. He ruled a kingdom. He's had an enormous amount of wealth, so he would understand and know about international trade and diversifying your investment portfolio. He would get that. That would be, right in his wheelhouse. Verse 4 stood out to me. Farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. Now, back then, there were a lot of farmers, and God and prophets and teachers and Jesus in their teachings always use farming and harvesting and sowing the seeds and fertile soil. They use all of that as metaphors for teachings because that's what the people did back then and they understood it. Farmers today, if they sit down with the Bible, they have a deeper understanding of the meaning behind the scripture and maybe can understand it on a different level because they understand how the soil and how growing food works. But if you could take another meaning to this scripture, the farmer who waits for perfect weather never plants. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. I take that to mean for me in my life today, because I'm not a farmer, it's sort of like waiting for the perfect time to have kids, right? Ryan and I got married and we were double income for 8 years, no kids, and we were waiting for the perfect time. And there really is no perfect time. And you're never going to be financially secure enough. You're never going to have sold all your wild oats. You're never going to have everything all perfect to have a baby. And you can miss on life's blessings if you're waiting for the perfect time for things. Because, like I said, there is no perfect time. And you miss the blessing. Also, in reference to harvest, God refers a lot, and Jesus in his teachings, that a harvest is like bringing people to God, right? We sow the seeds. We try to make sure our children have fertile soil, and then we hope that they will be brought in during harvest. Harvest is when God comes and collects his people. You could think of it like that. So scripture has a lot of depth, and I could definitely take that a couple ways. Anyways, I love verse 5. Just as you cannot understand the path of the wind or the mystery of a tiny baby growing in its mother's womb, so you cannot understand the activity of God who does all things. We do have to remember to keep things in perspective that we don't understand everything that's going on. We don't understand why bad things happen, but God does. He has you know, he has understanding in so many different layers. I think of it like we are ants in an anthill, and all we can see if we, I mean, our world is the little tunnels underneath the ground, and if occasionally we can get up and poke our heads out of the hole and maybe look around and see a yard of one house. Maybe that's the equivalent of someone leaving their hometown, right? But because we're humans and we see the world in a very different perspective, what that ant sees is minuscule to what a human sees and what a human knows about the world. So in that way, we are like ants. And God just, he knows so much more, so we do have to trust him. Plant your seeds in the morning and keep busy all afternoon, for you don't know if profit will come from one activity or another, or maybe both. That is interesting to me because at this place right now, I have my toe in a couple things and I am wiggling my toes and I don't know what God has in store, but I know that these are all good things and I won't jump into just one thing. I'm going to keep my toes in every pool because God can bless everyone. He can bless one and not the other. He can bless two of the three or what have you. It's up to him. But I'm going to keep my options open for now until I know for certain that he's telling me to close certain doors. So that's how I take that scripture. Okay, advice for young and old. Gosh, you know, what perspective Solomon has at this point. He starts, verse 7 says, light is sweet. How pleasant to see a new day dawning. When people live to be very old, let them rejoice in every day of life. Have you ever heard an old person say that? You ask them how they are and they say, well, I got up this morning, so life is good. They are thankful, many of them. Some of them are old and stodgy and grumpy, but many of them are just happy to be here another day. So we see that. But then, of course, he goes back to eat his Eeyore ways and talks about how, but everything is meaningless. Young people, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do everything you want to do. Take it all in. You know, do everything on your bucket list. Live life to the fullest. Don't always worry about being safe. Right? Take precautions. But enjoy life and all that it has to offer. But he gives a warning. See, here he says to the elderly, yes, there is wonderful things about your stage, but I warn you. And here he's saying, young people, yes, it's wonderful about this stage, but I'm warning you. Right? He knows what each generation needs to be concerned with. He says, but remember, you must give an account to God for everything you do. And so I would jump to, so don't do drugs and don't have, you know, all the things that mothers worry about. But here, what he says for his advice, he says, so refuse to worry and keep your body healthy. Well, that convicted me because I did for a while when I was looking at cancer and the grips of that fear and fear of death. I was really careful about being healthy, and now I got to admit I'm pretty slack and I'm not keeping my body healthy. I'm not exercising and I really need to be. And refuse to worry. Of course, I do worry. I try not to. I come to God when I do. And he helps me through it, but that is a tendency of mine. Verse 12, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your creator. I'm telling you, I did that for a time. I think it's not uncommon for young people to do that. But verse 4 kind of, and this is chapter 12 now, Verse 4 says, remember him before the door of life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. You know, he talks about the body and all, how your eyesight's going to go, your shoulders are going to go, the strength in your legs are going to go, your teeth are going to go. Everything's going to go to pot. And don't wait for that time when you have nothing else to remember God. We should remember God in our busy times too, in our young times, in the times where we feel overwhelmed, in the times where we're working and trying to juggle home life and family life and kids' activities and taking care of elderly parents and education and work and maintaining a household and a marriage. I mean, women especially, you know, and men too, this is a different kind of time where we're all just kind of trying to do everything. And we have to remember him before the door of life's opportunities is closed and the sound of work fades. I think that we make the mistake sometime of thinking, well, if I live to be 80, that, you know, that's the average age, and I'll probably live to my 80s, and so I'll have time to do this and that and the other thing, and I'll have time. When I get old, I'll have a garden. When I get old, I'll do this. And I'm guilty of that, too, because we don't have time for everything. It's just really about trying to maintain balance. Don't go crazy in any one thing, even studying, which I learned about in this chapter, which kind of blew my mind and spoke to me very much so. But we need to remember him in the years where we have more to offer. When we are older, I think that is a time where we can have more reflection. We can enjoy quiet time more. We can enjoy nature more. Now we're just running around like chickens with our heads cut off and trying to make sense of stuff. But it's hard when we don't have that time for reflecting on your life and time of reflection and time for laughter and time for learning, time for just taking things in. We fail to do that sometimes. I especially fail to do that, and God's working on me on that. I am trying to enjoy the little things much more and allow myself to do that. Remember him before you become fearful of falling. Yeah, we are physically strong. We take things for granted. We take our health for granted. And we do that, and we assume we have time to do this and that until we lose our health. And then we can't do any of those things we put off. So just let's just remember that. Let's remember that, hey, I am, if you are young and healthy, and, you know, I'm 45, I'll be 45 on November 7th. That's my birthday. And by the way, I share a birthday with Billy Graham, which is really cool. I love that. But anyways, we forget that we won't always feel this way. And I complain because I'm tired and I have this problem and that problem sometimes. But big picture, I'm as young, as strong as I probably will ever be at this moment today. And you are too. So let's be healthy. Let's take care of ourselves. Let's remember to do, not to waste time. It's hard to get a balance, isn't it? We don't want to waste time. We want to be purposeful while we still have our health. However, we do need to take time to spend time with God and to reflect. And then moving on. So verse 5 continues, and it says, it's going on about how the things that will happen as you get old. And it says, and the caper berry no longer inspires sexual desire. Don't you know that every person over the last, I don't know how many hundreds of years have read that scripture, thousands of years have read that scripture and wondered, huh, what the heck is a caper berry? I'm sure that many people have been on the case of the caper berry. I didn't research it because I'm assuming that if they figured out what it was, we would know about it because it would be sold on every street corner, right? Yeah. Caper berry no longer inspires sexual desire. Kind of funny. Okay. Then it gets, this is really when it starts to, I guess, hit home to me. First of all, in verse 7, he says, "For then the dust will return to earth." This is talking about when you die. "The dust will return to earth, and the spirit will return to God who gave it." So here he knows, Solomon is expressing his understanding here that he knows what happens to your body. It goes down to the earth, right? Adam was formed from the dust. And so returning to the dust, we will, our bodies will, but our spirit, what's inside us, belongs to God. That is our soul or spirit, and it will reside in heaven with God forever. And Solomon seems to know that. And remember, Saul knew that too, because he called a spirit, the spirit of Isaiah, and wanted to talk to Isaiah. Remember that? So this is not a new thing. That's what they believe. That's what they've experienced in their lives. Somehow they knew that. But then concluding thoughts where he talks about the teacher. Keep this in mind. The teacher is this, the teacher is that. And, you know, he works so hard to find the right words to express truths clearly. That's what I see as my gift. And I feel like I'm wasting it a lot of times. I feel like sometimes I wonder if I should be writing a book, and I've started a book, but I have such a short attention span, I have trouble finishing anything. But, you know, this was, like I said, this hit home. Verse 12, "But my child, let me give you some further advice. Be careful, for writing books is endless, and much study wears you out." He cares that we're going to get worn out. That's the whole story. "Here now is my final conclusion. Fear God and obey his commands, for this is everyone's duty. God will judge us for everything we do, including every secret thing, whether good or bad." So he is definitely in old age, end of life, thinking about end of life things. He's doing reflection. He's trying to give advice to future generations. And I have to find my, let me get my Bible basic, my basic Bible pocket guide, because whenever we finish a book, remember, I like to read the summary. Okay, so here's what it says. "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." That was the last verse that we read. The theme of this chat of this book of the Bible, all is vanity apart from God. Yes, it is all meaningless, but that is apart from God. The author is Solomon. It was written at the end of his life. Ecclesiastes is an autobiography written by King Solomon at the end of his life after he strayed away from God. It speaks of vanity apart from God, as if he were reporting the results of a scientific experiment. Solomon, the preacher, shares about his search for satisfaction. In four sermons, he relates his discovery that life without God is a long and fruitless search for enjoyment, meaning, and fulfillment. Solomon hopes to spare his readers the bitterness of learning through personal experiences that carrying out life's pursuits apart from God is empty, fruitless, and meaningless. Life application. Solomon's remarks are preserved in the books of Ecclesiastes for a purpose, to lead you to seek true happiness in God alone. Solomon is not trying to destroy all your hopes. He is instead directing your hopes to the only one who can truly fulfill them. Solomon affirms the value of knowledge, relationships, work, and pleasure. However, he also shows their proper place in the light of eternity and concludes, "Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all." Here's a summary of Solomon's final understanding of life. It makes 3 points. 1, only in God can you find real fulfillment. Nothing in this life will bring true meaning and happiness apart from God. Point 2, true happiness comes only from obedience to God. Point 3, life without God is a long and fruitless search for enjoyment, meaning, and fulfillment. So we close with this. Dear Lord, may my life's focus be to honor you and keep your commandments. May this be my daily commitment to you. So that is Ecclesiastes. That's it for today. Hope you all have a great day. I'll talk to you soon.